Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy
Amen.
Scripture.
Amen, Timotheus. Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Beautiful morning.
Oh, the sun is, it is beautiful.
Yeah, a little frost on the pumpkin.
Is there pumpkin still out in the field?
I don't know about that, but that's a good old saying.
Yeah, a little frost on the pumpkin.
Now, we could come back with two or three more of those old sayings to illustrate it.
Well, you know more of the older sayings than I do.
Thank you so much. You're absolutely right. I do indeed. I do indeed.
I'm just messing.
How are you this morning?
I am well. And yourself?
I'm good. I'm just, someone asked me what was up, and I said, well, you know, I'm up, the sky's up. You're up.
The sun's up.
Yeah, the S-U-N and the S-O-N both are up, so we're good. We're good.
If anybody out there has, this is a program, I should say, by the church, for the church, for you, the listener, if you have any questions, maybe a biblical question, you may have been a Christian for 50 years and you're still wrestling with something, maybe we can help you, maybe we can't, maybe you can help us.
We'll do our best.
Or if you've never been a Christian and you've got questions, you can call us up at 789-0318, 789-0318. You can call us with your questions, or maybe just a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could fax it. I'm getting confused here with fax.
They
and
could
text.
Fax it.
Yeah, they could fax it, I guess. But if you'd like to email it, that's what I'm looking for.
There
email
you
it to us on the interweb, as you call it. You can do that at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Yes,
bail
sir.
Me out, brother. I
yes, sir. All righty. Well, we do have an email.
Okay.
We do, in fact, have an email. And here's how it reads, Timotheus.
Okay.
Would like to hear about Revelation 22, 1 through 5. Perhaps some insight, explanation of these verses here in the beginning chapter of Revelation 21. Revelation is a book filled with all kinds of symbols. We have a hard time with Revelation. And yet I find that that's where a lot of people want to spend their time reading, because they are enamored by all of the symbolism, and we want to know what it's about. And the good news is we can know what it's about. And so before we go further, maybe we should just read Timotheus.
Now, in the book of Revelation, not Revelations.
There you go. There's only one Revelation.
Yeah.
It's a continuous one for 22 chapters.
Yeah.
And the heading in this particular section is the River of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 22. I'm reading from the New International Translation, beginning verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street in the city. On each side, by the way, it sounds like it's like a physical city almost, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Well, you know the reason for that, of course, Timotheus. How is God going to communicate to us if he doesn't use language that we can understand.
That we understand, absolutely.
And so he's painting a picture here of a river. It's he calls it the river of life.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's clear as crystal.
Mm.
We don't see too many clear rivers now.
No, we don't. No, brown and green and stuff like that.
And it flows from, in other words, it originates from the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes from God.
Absolutely.
The Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God doesn't change his mind. God's not like a man. He'll tell you he'll do this or that, and then he changes his mind.
No.
There's no turning, no shadow of turning with God. So everything that's good and perfect comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle. When you talk about God, you're talking about the Lamb. When you talk about the Lamb, you're talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, they are distinct, three distinct personalities. Everybody doesn't believe that. There are groups of people that do not believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
They won't accept the fact that, Jesus is God. He said it himself. Mm-hmm. I and the Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
He said it more than one time. Yet there are people that will contend that he never said that. My beloved was out with the grandkids the other day, and they were looking around in the flower bed, I think, and some folks came by, and they were religious people, and they were trying to talk about what they believed about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was stated was, and the beloved told them, she said, "Well, we have our church, and we go to our church, and something was stated about Jesus not being God, that he was a created being."
They didn't know who they were talking to. Did
well, they didn't, and she, you know, the girls were there.
Yeah.
Under normal circumstances, if it's just one on one, and you say something that isn't biblical, you know, I might try my best to help you see it, but I'm not going to create a scene. I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to take you aside privately, maybe as Paulus, Priscilla and Aquila did with Apollos in the Book of Acts.
But you got the grandchildren here.
Are here, and so you got to say something. You got to speak up.
Yeah.
Because they're like little sponges, you know. They're absorbing it all.
They're watching all of it.
And so she explained that he was the Son of God, and that he always was. He was not a created being, and he's God
in the flesh.
Came in the flesh. Let me offer just another word of explanation about how there can be one God, and yet three. One God with three distinct personalities. God the Father is our benefactor. Everything, of course, comes from God the Father. Jesus, God the Son, is our Redeemer. He paid the price for our sins when he was God in the flesh. There had to be a perfect sacrifice offered, and Jesus, of course, was that perfect sacrifice. And then God the Spirit, the Comforter, which Jesus said would come when he went away. He said, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but he'll guide you into all truth." You know, I said last night, Timotheus, and I know you were wide awake, he said, because we were getting ready to go home, and you always wake up when it's time to go home. Jesus said, "If I don't leave you, the Comforter can't come, but he will abide with you forever."
Yeah.
So, here's my statement now. It is better to have the Spirit inside us than Jesus beside us. Did you get that, Timothy?
That's something to ponder on right there.
It is better to have the Spirit inside us than to have Jesus beside us. Think about that, folks. Think about that. That is
powerful.
Really true. It is powerful.
Yeah.
So he says, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb and down the middle of the great street of the city. There's a city there, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that, I believe it was last week, wasn't it?
Might have been week before last.
1,500 mile cube.
Yep.
And we talked about the dimensions. We talked about how far that would be in human terms. It's
and
a
all
real
the materials,
place.
All the materials that it's
yeah,
made of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real place.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, on each side of the river stood there the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you remember the Garden of Eden?
Mm-hmm.
There was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God, when Adam and Eve violated God's will for man, which was to obey God and put their trust in Him, the devil came along and tempted, and she fell for it and gave it to Adam. He fell. Mankind fell. Romans 5, verse 12. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And the reason he says, for as by one man, is because Adam was created first.
Yep.
And Adam was supposed to take the lead.
Yep.
And
but
he didn't.
He did
not.
He just followed along.
Absolutely. So, woman, at that point, relinquished all right to lead. Now, women don't like to hear that, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
1 Timothy chapter 2 elaborates some on that. Anyway, so there they are. God punished them by expelling them from the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if they had not been expelled from the Garden of Eden, they would have partaken of the tree of life, and they would have lived forever. They would have lived forever in sinful bodies. God's too good to let that happen. So he cast them out, and he put cherubim there with swords going ever which way, that's my words, to keep them from going back in. God was really doing them and us
a favor.
A favor.
Yeah.
So he says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Notice it's a fruit-bearing tree, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations.
Hmm.
The healing of the nations. Well, I thought there wasn't going to be any more pain. You know, if you turn back a page, you read in Revelation 21 that there's no pain, no tears, no more death, no more mourning, no crying. The old things, the old order things have passed away. Well, what are the leaves? What healing needs to take place, Timotheus? Folks, what healing needs to take place? Well.
Oh, you were getting good now because we got a drink of coffee.
Oh, yeah. When you get a drink of coffee, when you're right in the middle of something, take a drink of coffee. You're about ready.
You're about ready to get good here.
Yeah. Or as Warner Brother used to say, when a man clears his throat, he's about to tell a lie. Well, I didn't say that. Someone else said that.
I hope I don't.
Because I clear my throat a lot.
I do, too.
And I'm not telling a lie. So when I think of this verse, the healing of the nations, here's what I think about. And it's best illustrated by an illustration.
Okay.
About a young man who was rebellious, wild. Mom and dad couldn't do a thing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a familiar theme these days, you know.
It is.
But it was in our time, too.
Well, Merle Haggard had a song called Mama Tried.
He did indeed.
That kind of sums it up.
It does.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about Larry Sparks' song, too, Mama, just simply titled Mama. And he simply says, I don't know how you put up with me the way
you
did.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he says, keep praying for me, Mama.
Yeah.
Anyway, this boy was wild, and his dad said, son, you're going to have to straighten up. You're breaking your mother's heart. And he said, I'll show you wild and rebellious. And so he got even worse.
Hmm.
And his dad said, son, for each time you break your mommy's heart, I'm going to drive a nail in that post out back there. And he said, I'll show you, Dad, just how bad I can be. Well, he was a rascal, and there was many, many nails driven in that post. And the boy walked by the window one day and looked at that post, and the Lord was working on his heart. He was feeling the conviction of his sin.
Nails everywhere in the post.
Everywhere, sticking out everywhere. And he broke down and began to cry. That's the first sign of repentance right there.
Yeah.
And he told his dad, he said, Dad, I'm going to do better, I promise you, and I'm going to show you. And Dad said, son, if you'll do that, every time you do a good deed, I'll pull a nail out of the post. He said, all right, Dad. Well, time went by, and the boy just outdone himself. Now, he was just wonderfully doing a wonderful job, and most all the nails were gone.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, there was only 4 or 5 left, and the boy was standing at the window one day looking at the post crying. His dad walked by and said, son, what are you crying about? He said, Dad, said, look at that post. He said, but son, almost all the nails are gone. He said, I know, Dad, but look at the scars.
The holes in the post.
Yeah.
Left by the nails.
Yeah. I think this is what this is talking about.
the leaves are the word
the
I'm
healing
looking,
of the nations.
The healing of the nations. It's a representation.
It is.
Is what I was looking for.
Yeah. Well, see, all of this represents something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I believe there's a real city? I sure do. But I think it's going to be even better than what's described.
Yeah.
Do I think it's going to have all those precious jewels we talked about 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I sure do, but it's going to be even better. If this is the only way God could describe it, this is only the beginning of what it's going to be like.
Well, because we're on this earth, we only know so much good.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? There's a limit to the good that we know.
Yeah.
And right when you think something, you know, when you're a young man and you date the girl and oh, man, it can't get better than this.
Yeah.
Then you end up finding the girl to marry. Wait a minute. And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah. It got better all of a sudden.
But on this earth, there's a limit to what we know. So God, you're saying God is telling it in our terms.
He is.
But when we think about God always existing and never going to end,
yeah,
we can't wrap our mind around that.
No, we can't. God had to lower himself,
mm-hmm,
to communicate with us, to be like us trying to communicate with an ant.
Yeah, true.
We'd have to become one.
But think about how much love he has for us to do that.
Absolutely. Greatest love known to mankind.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. The throne, if there's another one that's even greater, I'm looking forward to it.
There you go.
He says, for the healing of the nations, no longer will there be any curse. The curse there is a reference to sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. The law became a curse because the law not only told us what we couldn't do, but showed us just how wicked we really were.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to forgive our sins,
yeah,
not to push him ahead for a year at a time. So the Lamb, he says, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will serve him. I think that's pretty well self-explanatory. There's going to be a lot of praising and a lot of worshiping in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that praise business. You probably won't have to worry about it.
Good point.
If you don't praise him here, you won't be praising him there.
True.
So the throne of God and the Lamb be in the city. His servants will serve him. They will see his face. Oh, my. 1 John 3 says, we know not what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John says we're going to have a body like Jesus. We don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but it's going to be like his.
Well, if heaven is described that good, and we're going to have heavenly bodies, you know,
yes, sir.
Our body's going to have to match up a little bit, I think,
yes,
with the city.
I think so. They will see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. That, to me, that speaks of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be his. I don't think there's going to be a literal name on my forehead. I do know this. I'm going to be given a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So if it's on my forehead, then everybody's going to know what it is.
That's true. That's true.
There will be no more night.
Mm.
You know, the night. Ooh,
yeah. No more darkness.
No more darkness. No more boogeyman in the closet. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. He will reign forever and ever. They will reign forever and ever. Notice they will reign. We're going to be equal with Jesus. Whatever Jesus receives, we're going to get.
Yeah.
That's what co-heirs mean.
Yeah.
If you're one of two kids and your dad or your mom leave you an inheritance, you're co-heir. You get half, and your sister gets half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's in the briefest amount of time, that's my take on Revelation 22.
Yeah. Well, and it's so hard because I have to, when I read the Bible, I want to read it literally.
Well, I think you should read the Bible literally.
But when you get in certain sections like this one, and you're thinking, okay, the river and the tree, and we don't think of it so much as symbolism. That's the problem I have a lot of times when I'm reading.
Well, we should read the Bible. Folks, you should read your Bible literally.
Mm-hmm.
Unless and until you come across a passage that is obvious.
Yeah.
For instance, the dragons in Revelation. That is not to be taken literally. They represent other things, corrupt religion, corrupt government. We read about bowls and seals and scrolls and those kind. Those represent other things. Varied opinions about exactly what those things are.
Mm-hmm.
But they're representations of something even better. If that's a symbol then think how good the real thing's going to be, Timotheus.
Oh, it's going to be great. We've got a phone call coming in. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes. I have wondered so much about why people say that their loved ones, when they die, some say even if they're not a Christian, that they are looking down on us from heaven. I'd just like for Jerry to explain that. I didn't think we went to heaven as quick as we died, not until Jesus comes back to get his church. Mm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. You know, we say a lot of things at times of bereavement, basically because we don't really know how else to express ourselves. We are emotional beings, and some of us are more emotional than others. So we hear a lot of catchy phrases. Well, the good Lord needed him worse than you did.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, if I lose someone close to me, that doesn't help me any.
It doesn't help me either.
And it's almost as if God just, you know, took them because he needed them.
Yeah.
Or when a baby dies, God needed an extra flower in his flower garden or something like that. I understand the sentiment. Please don't respond to somebody by telling them they're just emotional. Just listen to people when they're bereaving. And when they're grieving.
And give them a hug.
Give them a hug, yeah.
Because you can't fix it.
No, you can't fix it.
We want to fix it, but we can't.
It's impossible to fix.
And she made reference that even if the person wasn't a Christian, they talk about them looking down at us. It sounds good.
Yeah.
It makes us feel better.
Yeah.
But is it truthful?
Well, I don't know that anybody means to lie to anybody at those times, but they're searching for something that will help.
Yeah.
But maybe it's best to say nothing.
Just give them a hug.
If you don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've heard those old expressions all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are just, they're meant to help, but they're really not true. That doesn't mean that the baby's not in the arms of God. Doesn't mean that your loved one's not with God. What it does mean is this. When I die, and if the Lord hasn't returned, one thing for sure, he's coming or I'm going.
Mm-hmm. One or the other.
Yeah, one or the other. And when I go, I'll go to a place that, again, it's just all kind of thrown together, and we call it heaven. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. And
now, we talked about this just a few weeks ago.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. Actually, only saved people go to heaven, not good people.
Yeah.
Saved people. But see, that's another way we express it.
Mm-hmm.
And lost people will end up in torment. But there's a process to that. Now, someone wants to go to Luke 16. I understand that. And some argue whether it's a parable or whether it's a real life situation. The rich man who died, the Bible says he said to Abraham, "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." He said, "For I'm tormented in this flame." Now, those who want to contend that that's a literal flame and he's there now have a lot of other passages they need to explain. Because at the end of the judgment, the great white throne judgment in Revelation 22, and there's a list in Revelation 21 of the people that will end up in the lake of fire. Verse 7, "He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly," or the fearful,
mm-hmm.
The fearful, the person that's afraid to try anything, afraid to try to live the Christian life. That's King James says they're fearful. Mm-hmm. "The unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts or sorcery."
Mm-hmm.
"Idolaters," by the way, that magic arts can also be translated in other places, drugs, druggists, dope dealers. That's my translation of it in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23. "Idolaters and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur." It says their place will be in. They aren't actually thrown into that place until at the end of the age. That's after the Bema seat, the judgment seat, that's for God's children, mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's for Christians. Paul's writing to Christians when he says that.
Mm-hmm.
The other throne, or the other judgment, is called the white throne judgment. That's for people who are lost. We won't be in that judgment. Aren't you happy about that, Timothy?
Amen. But it would be, I'm going to say weird to think what would be the purpose of them being in hell already, pulling them back out, judging them, yeah. Put them back in hell.
Wouldn't be any point to
because
that.
Because they would already judged when they were sent to hell the first time.
There you go.
Interesting.
Let me suggest that you think of it like this. Jesus used parables all the time, and I think it's all right for us to use them. Let's suppose that you've got a fella, and he is cast into hell, and then he burns for a little while. He's on fire. All those things we don't like to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring him up out of there. Why, as your point was a moment ago, why do that?
Mm-hmm.
And why do that and put it? If I ain't going there, of course. But if a man goes there, to be pulled out and then sent back would be even worse torture, I think. Anyway,
it would.
Yeah. So I believe that Luke 16 has to do with memory. Now let me qualify that by asking a question. Timotheus, have you ever dreaded something so badly? It was almost as if you were right in the midst of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you wake up, you go to bed with it, you wake up with it.
Wake up just about terrified.
Yeah. You know, you got 3 weeks, you got to deal with it for 3 weeks.
Mm.
I think that's what we have in Luke 16. I think the man's memory. Remember what Abraham said? Son, remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That in thy lifetime thou hast the good things, Lazarus the evil thing. Now he's comforted and you're in torment. Now you say, are you 100% sure about that? No.
Just a thought.
There's very few things I'm 100% sure about.
True.
I used to be 100% sure of everything I said.
Yeah.
When I was a baby preacher. But then I grew up.
You knew better, so you do better.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you learn better, you do better. So I think that's why people do that. They want all the comfort they can get. And here's the thing. A preacher sometimes fan that flame.
Yeah.
Because where do people get most of what they say?
Yeah.
They get it from preachers.
Yeah.
And if they don't study it for themselves, they don't know whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I would suggest everybody read and study after everything I say.
Well, we got a couple minutes, and she made a reference to looking down on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any reference in the Bible that people that have passed on, that are gone either to be with the Lord or that weren't saved, are looking down on us?
Well, there's several places in the Bible where heaven is always pictured as up and hell is always pictured as down.
Mm-hmm.
The angels carried Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham.
Yep.
Hebrews.
And Jesus ascended.
Jesus ascended up, not mm-hmm. down. The Hebrew writer talks about a great cloud of witnesses, you mm-hmm. know, above us. So I think there is that is biblical. However, Timotheus, to put a fish hook in that, in Revelation 21, the Bible says to us that John saw the holy city coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, or beautifully adorned, as the King James says.
Wow.
There's a lot to that. Maybe we can talk about that sometime if folks would like to hear an explanation of that.
Only if we had more time.
Only if we had more time, yeah. Thanks, folks.
Folks, thanks for listening again to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. I did say Sunday evening is the life groups, by the way. Wanted to put that in there. And don't forget, we'd like to invite you to our Easter egg Hunt, Bring the Kids, this Saturday. Gets underway at 11 a.m. There will be face painting, pictures with the Easter Bunny, and they'll get to hunt some kids, and we'll have a great time. That begins at 11 a.m. this Saturday, March 24th. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.